fourth one is a more complicated model. It's a non-spherical dust wind model. So I will show some specific models for silicate carbon star and yellow hypergiant. And I'm going to also talk about something about dust polarization. And I think this will be very useful to investigate non-spherical dust wind. Okay, evolved stars in this mass range. I'm going to talk about AGB stars and the Plateau Nebula. AGB stars evolve on this HL diagram this way, depending on the mass, initial mass. And so circumstellar of AGB stars so very complicated. Inside the dust shell, there are SIO major regions, and in the middle of dust shell, there is H2 major region, and in outer shell, there is OH major shell. AGB stars classified in this way based on chemistry of central star and Mello. So O-rich stars and C-rich stars, and these are in low mass stars, and these are very high mass stars, and these are mass in mid range, and there are also S star, which cannot be classified as O-rich or C-rich. And there are also silicate carbon stars. I think these are all binary stars. And O-rich stars have these major emissions and these dust emission or absorption. And carbon-rich stars have these molecules and these dust and in post-HB or Plateau Nebula, we see also pH. And this is IRAS two-color diagram for HB stars. So O-rich HB stars are here, and C-rich HB stars. And these are model, theoretical body track lines using very simple dust shell model using dust code. So these model tracks roughly match the observation. Well, next slide shows the two color diagram using two mass data. So carbon stars here and oxygen rich stars here and S stars. Well, one thing we have to consider is the thermal pulse in AGB stars. So from the beginning of AGB stars, thermal pulse has very important role in the evolution of AGB star to post-AGB and planetary nebula. Well, the thermal pulse can do these three things. First, it can induce a superwind, which lasts for about 100 years, and it may also change the chemistry from O to C, and also it can also crystallize dust by annealing process. The period for the thermal pulse is shorter for large mass. So this diagram shows thermal pulse cycle for small mass stars and large mass stars. So for large mass stars, there are many thermal pulses, but for small mass stars, there are only a few number of thermal pulses. And for very large mass star, hot bottom burning can reduce the carbon content. So we can present this kind of scenario for the evolution of AGB star from early AGB star to post AGB star. So for very low low mass, the Ulrich chemistry is remained, but for in the middle age, they can change the chemistry from Ulrich to carbon rich. For very high mass stars, because of the hot button burning, the chemistry doesn't change. So the Ulrich chemistry remains. So if we summarize the evolution, so for very low mass age stars, which belongs to halo population, may never become a planetary nebula. For low mass star, will remain in Ulrich during the whole age of stars. But for intermediate massive age of stars, these stars may turn into C-rich Myras, leading eventually to carbon-rich planetary nebula. For high mass stars, will activate the hot button burning and eventually become Ulrich type 1 planetary nebula. This branching is strongly depending on the metallicity of the progenitor star. But however, binary system may show much more complicated properties, of course. So, from AGB stars to planetary nebula. Okay, there are two stages after the end of AGB phase. So one is a slow wind, which blows the remnant of the AGB phase into outer layer with slow wind. So this phase is from the end of AGB phase to post-AGB. And after that, a fast wind from hot inner layers of the star overtake the slow wind and excite it, and finally it becomes a real planetary nebula. So these are planetary nebula. And if we see the morphology, around the planetary nebula minority. So we'll talk about that this later. The second topic is about radiative transfer models for those developed. For a long time, we have been using these single component of shell model, and this model is also still useful for some purposes. But it has problem because it assumes only single component and or spherical symmetric dust shell. But those species in around the AGB stars may have multiple components rather than a single component. So this model is not very useful to reproduce all of the features of AGB stars. So nowadays, there are many kinds of multi-component of a three-dimensional dust envelope model utilizing the Monte Carlo simulation method. And these are very useful. It takes more time, but it's very useful. So you can use multi-component dust species and various three-dimensional density structures. For example, we can use this kind of density structures. So this is from dynamical model for moderately flared thin disk from Kenyon and Hartman. So by using this density distribution, we can make a various shape of a disk. And distribution is a little bit different. This is dust envelope. This can be a dust shell or oblate envelope. So by changing these various parameters, we can make very different shapes of dust envelope. So for example, so these are the dust disk. We can make a very thin disk or very thick disk. And very flared disk and non-flared disk. We can change the shape of disk in many ways by using different parameters. for the dust envelope, we can make a spherical shell or oblated shell or like torus. So we can make very various shapes of dust envelope by using this. So in the radiative transform model, we can use multiple components of the disk and envelope at the same time. Well, for the dust species, we can use various kind of dust species. For Oryche, these are the most abundant dust species. For silice, we use these kind of things. Silicate is very it doesn't change very much, but almost carbon may change to graphite or pH. So we have to use different dust species for silice stars. There are some other species also. And size, for the size of grains, we have very large dust grains for young stellar objects, but also some AGB stars have very large grains also, if it has a disk. So there can be very large grains in AGB stars or post AGB stars. And usually in the outer shell, we have these large grains and small grains. So these are the opacity functions for some important dust species for AGB stars. And for large grains, silicate features for small grains, and for very large grains, we see the features and around the millimeter. So many post AGB stars have these peaks. This can be only reproduced by very large grains. And these are pH. And I'll talk about spectral evolution for post AGB stars. It's a simple model. For the central star, we use these parameters for the evolution along the post AGB phase. And this is the model SED. It's a simple model. It's a simple dust shell model. After the AGB phase, the dust shell is just simply detaching from the core. So these are Oryche stars, and these are for Silice stars, and these are for Oryche stars with for very massive Oryche stars. And this is the two-color diagram for AGB stars and planetary nebula and post-AGB stars. So how do we connect these two regions? Well, first of all, this is a conventional model. So in this model, the AGB phase ends with very thick dust shell, so thick OHL cells with very thick dust envelope. So at the end of AGB phase, it starts here, then ends here. End of the post AGB phase. So at this time, the temperature of central star is 30,000 Kelvin. But by using this conventional model, we can reproduce the planetary nebula around here, but not here. So I have used different models also, which has very thin dust envelope, at the end of AGB phase, then it can reproduce the planetary nebula around here. So for the red object, we can explain by normal AGB termination, but in the blue object, in the left side, can be just shell detachment. We send this envelope with high wind velocity. But it is also possible that they are not spherically symmetric. They don't have a spherically symmetric dust shell. So they may have a non-spherical of the wind. So in that case, the theoretical of shell model may not apply cover. And this is another two-color diagram, AGB stars and planetary nebula. And these are the same tracks. And for MSS diagram, AGB stars here and AGB model track. And planetary nebula here. And this is model track. It's complicated. Okay, so the last topic is non-spherical dust windows for AGB stars and post-AGB stars. So there are many post-AGB stars which have very discs, like a red rectangle or the W43A. So it's an OHR star with binary companion, so it shows very interesting features. So many of the post-AGB stars have discs. So what is the region? It could be a stellar rotation or magnetic field, but it could be also due to binary evolution of the progenitor. And those discs are found from C-rich stars and O-rich stars also. And another one is the silicate carbon star, which show both C-rich dust and O-rich dust. There are two kinds of scenario for the silicate carbon star. One is the switch of the chemistry happens in the shell. Then, but the time scale for this change is very short, so it will be very improbable to absorb this kind of object. More promising scenario is this. When the star was O-rich, the O-rich material was stored in a binary disk. If this is a binary star, then two kinds of dust can be seen for a long time. So this is a promising scenario for silicate carbon star. But how can we model this kind of complicated object? I have tried to model a silicate carbon star of this one. So in this case, I have used a very complicated dust envelope, two dust disks. One is thin, and one is thick disk, and one is thin disk. And for the dust shell, one is inside the shell is carbon rich, then outer shell is silicate. And this is the inside the view of the dust disk. And this is the observation is compared with a theoretical model. Okay, there is a peak in the millimeter region. So this can be reproduced by a very large silicate grain. The size of a grain is 300 micrometer. Okay, this is the inner view. And this is the model image. Okay, let's compare with famous red rectangle. And the model for red rectangle is a second binary dust. Okay, so there are many similarities here. So if we compare these two objects, there are many similar things. Binary disk is similar. This object could be predecessor to the red rectangle in many respects. Okay. So non-spherical dust stellar wind from post-AGB stars could be more effective because the outer layer, when the star evolves to post-AGB, the outer layer becomes very sensitive to external or internal perturbation. External one is mainly from binary star, internal one is pulsation. And then the clumpiness may grow and non-spherical symmetry will be. So the oblateness of the can be increased until the planetary nebula phase. Okay, next one shows the polarization observation. So according to this, the degree of polarization increases up to protoplanetary nebula, then decreases again. This may be due to this kind of a scenario. Okay, so from HB star and post HB star, the more material outside, and they are more perturbed by internal or external perturbation. Then the there are less material after this. So the clumpiness or density constraints will be lowered now. So the polarization gets lower. How about theoretical model for polarization? For in K band, the polarization is most effective only in this dust grain size. So if you have a large dust grain size or small dust grain, there will be no polarization. And in 20 micron, the grain size must be much larger. So this is the polarization view of the non-spherical dust envelope. So, okay, the last one is about IRC 1040-420, which is a yellow supergiant, yellow hypergiant. It was observed by polarization observation. And model, I have modeled this object with very large dust disk and very large dust shell. And also, this model can reproduce the observed polarization observation pretty well. Okay, so major portion of red or yellow supergiants also have a very thick dust envelope. So there are many new observations about this. So not only HB star, hypergiants or red supergiants have a very large dust envelopes. Okay, summary. So these observations can be interpreted by theoretical radiative transfer models for better understanding. For single stars, so we can reproduce the observed objects in IR2 series by using very simple model, but for other models, we need some kind of a non-spherical model. So, and lastly, polarization observation could be very useful to clarify the complicated structure of a dust envelope, so dust size and density distribution. Thank you very much.
Thank you for a very nice talk and for keeping very good on time. So we have time for questions. Okay. Did we have a mic?
Okay. This is about the non-spherical symmetry of these things. I think it was Eva who mentioned it's usually a sign of a companion. Do we have only even one single evidence of one non-spherically symmetric which would for which we would be sure there is no companion?
For what kind of object?
Is there any one object for mm-hmm. which we know there's no companion, but there is an asymmetric?
I'm not sure about that. Yeah. In my knowledge, all the objects which are binary stars have a non-spherical symmetric disk or yes. So.
Can I add something to that? Even if you don't see a companion now, doesn't mean that there wasn't a companion. So even single stars are good binary stars. They could have merged, and I'm biased, but that's
okay. Other questions?
Hi, I had actually two questions, if I can. Sure. I had a naive question, and that was related to your thermal pulses.
Mm-hmm.
The question is that taken into account? Is that self-consistently taken into account in your models, or is that parametrized in your models? I have no idea.
So my model is actually a static model for the dust envelope. So
the thermal pulses are parametrized.
For the ready transport model, the density distribution is static, and thermodynamic equilibrium is assumed for the ready transport model.
Okay. And the second question I had was with respect to IRC 10420. Are you suggesting there was a disk in there or not?
Oh, yes. I think, okay, let me show. This is phase of, this is the real observation, and this is phase on view of disk. There are other observations, and also, and they support the disk field phase on.
Yes. Okay. Well, if there's a disk there, and it would then be most likely due to a binary. We've been searching for a binary.
We don't know whether it's a binary or not. We don't have any observational evidence yet.
Well, we have been searching for binaries for many years in IRC 10420, up down to the milliarcsecond scales. We haven't found anything. So I doubt whether there's a disk.
Yeah, for this one also. So it may not be a binary star. So there could be some other regions to make dust disk. So I'm not claiming that only binary stars can make that. That's just one possible reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's keep on puzzling.
Mm-hmm. We still have time for more questions? No? So I have a question as well. So currently you have the possibility of including disks. Do you plan to also introduce more complicated geometries like?
Yes, and like torus, yeah. Or something like that. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, we do that.
Yeah, very mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, let's thank the speaker again. And
thank you very much.